Welcome to Reconciled Church Miami, Pastor Aldo Leon.
Let's pray. Father, there are people here who daily struggle with just trusting that you are as good as you are. They think that what they do in their homes and what they do in their devotions and what they do in their jobs defines them and makes them acceptable to you. We struggle, Lord God, with realizing where our confidence comes from. We are just so quick to just become little Jesuses who want to save ourselves, Lord. And so I pray, God, I plead with you, Holy Spirit, the only teacher and exhorter of men and women, that you would show every single person here, especially me, God, how we can rely 100% on the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul gave us, Lord. I ask these things because of Jesus' work and glory for us. Amen. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here. We are a new church that just started a meeting publicly about a month or so ago. And we actually just encourage you guys who are just hanging out with us to come check us out on a Wednesday. We have Bible studies in houses. It's a little bit more personal. But with that said, let me just get right into the message. And I'm going to tell you some things that all kind of have something in common. So we all like iPhones, we all rely on iPhones, but we know that when we get an iPhone, it cracks. Where's Paul at? It gets frozen, so it's not something we can rely on too much. We get homes and we think that we're going to have the stability that we want in a home, and you know what happens very quickly? It just starts breaking down, and you have to bring people to fix it, and we learn very quickly that a house on this earth is not something that we could really build on. Everyone here has a story about somebody who did them wrong, right? Someone who let them down. And so we know that people are not reliable. Then, you know, we could take it to something else on this earth. Our bodies, and some of you are younger, and so you don't realize this yet, but our bodies are unreliable. High blood pressure, cholesterol, anxiety, disease, like just another thing that's unreliable. Our governments, I'm not talking about liberal government or conservative government, I'm just talking about government, period, is unreliable. Weather's unreliable. The same thing that brings life to us, the oceans, if it gets a little grouchy, it drowns and kills people. So there's like a pattern here. And the pattern is that every single thing that comes from this earth is not something that we can build an eternity on. You can build some moments on it. You can build a part of your life on it, but you cannot build an eternity on things that are here. And so the Apostle Paul, what he just did recently was, in the first verses of Galatians, he tells us the gospel. Then he tells us how we stand on the gospel and we don't compromise on the gospel. And now these verses come because he wants to tell us that the gospel that Paul received is not something that he got from earth. It's not like all these other things on earth that we can't rely on because they just break down. Paul got his gospel from something outside of this earth, and therefore we can trust and build our lives entirely on the gospel that Paul is bringing to us. And so I'm just going to demonstrate why you guys can build every aspect of your life on the gospel that Paul preached by just showing three things. First, we can trust that the gospel of Paul is the gospel of God because it came to him supernaturally. Okay? Second, we can trust that the gospel that Paul preaches is reliable because he received it supernaturally. With me? Third, we can trust that Paul's gospel is something we can rely on because he held to it supernaturally. Very simple. Not a a 5 point or a bunch of a 10 point sermon, just 3 points. So let me get right into the first point. How the gospel came to us supernaturally. It says in verse 11, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel preached by me is not based on human thought. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation from Jesus Christ." So Paul says, the way I got the gospel was not from humans. So you guys know what would happen in here if we started passing messages, if I said something to you, and then it went all the way through here? Eventually, like, the message would get lost, right? Right? So Paul's saying that the gospel that I got was not something that depended on humans passing it on really well. The gospel that I got was not determined by how well people handed off to one another. The gospel that I got, it came by Jesus Christ leaving heaven, coming to earth, doing what he did, going back to heaven and coming back down and saying, "Paul, open up your hands and let me give you the gospel." It didn't come through passing on. And so because Paul didn't get the gospel through how well humans passed it on, when Paul brings the gospel to us in this place right now, we can trust that it came from God and not earth. We see something else about the way it came supernaturally, and that is it did not come from human logic. Look, it says in verse 11, it's not based on human thought. It's not based on human thought. So there's really two ways to really break down information in the world. Two ways. You can break down everything that you hear like this. Someone's either telling you to either go up some ladders to know God on the basis of the strength of your legs, or they're telling you that God comes down the stairs because of his humility. That's really the way you know things in this life. Or I can say it like this. It's either the Moses experience or the Jesus experience. You learn things by going up the mountain to God, which I would not advise you to do. Or you learn things by Jesus coming down on the Sermon of the Mount, where he comes down and he sits down and he brings truth to you. There's just two ways. So Paul says, the gospel that I preached did not come at all from human thinking. So there's a lot of ways that people, I mean, we have think tanks, we have philosophy, and we have books, and we have schools, and we have all of these ways that the common people now think how we understand salvation. And Paul says, the philosophies of this world, the thinking of this world has nothing to do, the ladders of philosophy taking you up to God have nothing to do with the gospel. The gospel is not men philosophizing their way to heaven, but the gospel is Jesus Christ coming to earth as a baby, living a life of humanity to perfection, going on a cross, dying, being resurrected, going to heaven, and coming back down and saying, I go down the ladder to give you the message of salvation. You don't get it through humans and their ways of thinking up to God. Or we could say it like this. Salvation does not come through the ladder, men going up, of human reason and conscience. A lot of people say, man, I think this and I think that, and it makes sense to me. Paul says, you don't reason your way up to God. The way you know God is by Jesus Christ becoming a human and having a human will, a human nature, and him growing and learning as a man and reasoning his way through the law of God and saying, yes, I will obey for them, and yes, I will die for them, and then going back to heaven where he came from and coming back down and giving us the truth of his reasoning. That's really helpful. A lot of people, I think this about salvation, and I think this about God, and Paul is saying that's absolutely irrelevant to my gospel. The gospel doesn't come through us through our logic bringing us higher and higher. It comes to Christ. We don't get the gospel through the ladder of science and psychology either. We get the gospel through Jesus Christ, who was invisible, becoming matter and becoming a human, and then dying a physical death, though he was eternal, going back to heaven and coming back down and telling us about his coming into earth. So everything, every single thing that men try to do to understand salvation is some way of going to God. And God says, no, it doesn't work like that. My son comes down to you. When Paul says it's not according to human thought, that means that the gospel doesn't come through experience and finding yourself. You know, like, it's very common in this time to say you need to learn about God by getting in touch in yourself. You need to learn about God through experience. Not according to human thought, not according to human experience. It's according to Jesus, the eternal Son of God, entering into history as a human, and him experiencing humanity, and him being hungry, and him being tempted, and him experiencing life in its full, and then dying on a cross, experiencing death in its full, being resurrected from the dead, going to heaven, and coming back down to us and saying, let me tell you about my experience as a human, and you must believe and understand that. So the gospel has nothing to do with how we go up to God, but everything to do with God coming down to us. If I could illustrate it, it's like this. You guys ever made those little rockets that go up, those rockets? What happens when you make a rocket? It goes like 100 feet up, 200 feet up. It goes pretty high, right? But it goes nowhere near high enough to go to outer space. All the ways that men try to go to God is just a bunch of little moralistic rockets that go a couple hundred feet high, and they're great, wow, and they come crashing down, and they're still infinitely so far from God. That's just the best that we could do. And so the gospel, guys, the gospel is not men reasoning and thinking and moving their way up by experience of God. The gospel is God telling us his heart, his affections, what he thinks. That's why in 2 Corinthians 10, if I could read a passage, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 10, it says this. You know, that's what I don't like. I don't like flipping through Bible verses because I always do it too slow and it messes me up. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 9:2-9, it says this. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear, and what never entered the human mind, God has prepared for those who love them. Now God has revealed these things to us by the experiences of men. Doesn't say that. Now God has revealed these things to us by the philosophizing and rationalizing of human hearts. Nope. It says, God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. God is not some God. You know, you guys know the father who just sits there like this, and he doesn't tell his family what he thinks, and they're just supposed to figure it out? Does anyone know a dad like that? Just the stoic, quiet guy? That's not the God of the Bible. God doesn't sit there with his arms crossed saying, I want to see what these people can figure out about. I think he's a loving God who says, I love you and I saved you through my son, Jesus Christ. Clearly, I tell you. You guys don't need to figure it out. You guys don't need to have conversations. I am a revealing God who says, I save you by Christ. I bring my mind and heart to you. It's not according to human thought. And we also see something like this. It's not according to human process. This is a little bit different. Paul says, I wasn't taught the gospel. Paul was not a guy who preaches the gospel he preached because he reflected on the life of Christ and he was inspired to then present the gospel to us. Paul says, I wasn't taught this. God was inspired himself to come down and tell Paul exactly what the gospel is. Paul didn't go through some learning process about how to get to the gospel. That's not how he learned it. It wasn't a gospel. I think a lot of times people say this. They say, you know, the Apostle Paul, he's an intellectual guy, and so, you know, he preaches the intellectual gospel. Yo, the Apostle Paul's gospel did not come through his intellect. The Apostle Paul's gospel came through God's humility. Paul says, I wasn't taught this. God the Father said, Paul, I will tell you exactly what salvation is outside of any learning process in you whatsoever, so that you know exactly what the gospel is, and so that your hearers would know exactly what the gospel is. It not only did not come from human processes, but it didn't come from human desires either. You may say, are you being repetitive? Maybe. Guys, this is what happens a lot of times. People take horizontal realities, things that we see on earth, and they bring them up to heaven, and then they bring Christ back down. You say, what do you mean by that? People will say, I see my life and I am broke. So you know what? I'm going to go up to heaven and I'm going to make a gospel of being rich and bring Christ down to be a savior who gives me riches. So we see horizontal issues, we bring them up to heaven and we bring Christ down, and all of a sudden we have a gospel of making you wealthy. Or we do this. Man, my marriage is challenging. So I bring the situation of marriage up to heaven and I bring Christ down, and all of a sudden now Christ becomes someone who just fixes all my problems via marriage. Or we can do this. We can do this. You know, I'm not very attractive. I'm not very healthy. I'm not very, you know. And so, okay, I bring that up to heaven and I say, Christ, surely you came to die in order for me to be healthy. You see the picture? We see things on earth and our desires, and all of a sudden, Jesus becomes some guy who just fulfills all of our fallen desires to be more successful, to be happier, to be greater, to be wealthier. And Paul says, my gospel is not according to horizontal human desires. The gospel is not you bringing salvation to heaven and bringing it back down. The gospel is Christ exiting heaven, coming down and redeeming you from the wrath of God, redeeming you from sin and alienation from God. It's God coming down and redeeming you from the fact that you don't have God. It's not according to human desires. And as I have God in my life, my marriage is changed and things are changed, but not because I have some Messiah of improvement, some Messiah of fixing this and fixing that, but I have Jesus Christ, the treasure and desire of life. And now, things around me are changing. So Paul says, the gospel is not something which you bring to heaven and bring back down, but the gospel is Christ coming down to save you from what God needs to save you from. You with me? Our visitors are like, man, this guy, I always say this, these visitors are like, this guy's crazy, screaming. Don't worry, I'm not that scared. So our salvation, they're like, yes, you are. Our salvation, it is received supernaturally. It has absolutely nothing to do with natural things. But the next question is, okay, it's received supernaturally, but did it just float around Paul? Like, how did he receive it? I get it. It came from heaven. It did not come from anything on the earth. But how did he receive it? And that brings us to our next point, that the gospel was received supernaturally. Let me read verse 13. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I persecuted God's church to an extreme degree and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. So how can we understand that Paul received this gospel supernaturally? Well, firstly, it's my understanding that it had nothing to do with Paul's natural religion or any religion at all. So these false teachers were coming in and they were saying that if you want to be saved, you got to go back to the law and keep the law, You got to go back to Pharisaical, you know, Old Testament, Old Covenant religion to be saved. And Paul says, I was lost in that religion. God didn't save me from atheism to theism. God saved me from religious morality to Christ. So you guys are trying to say that that saves you. And Paul says, God saved me from the insanity of a religion that's all about what men do for God. It's almost like you guys who grew up in a bad neighborhood and God takes you out of there. Or you had this situation and God takes you out of there. This lifestyle, God takes you out of there. And then someone says, salvation comes by going back to that neighborhood, going back to that situation. And you're like, yo, I got saved from there. So these teachers are saying, we got to go back to the law. We got to go back to ceremonies and law keeping to be saved. And Paul says, I was lost in moralistic works-based religion. You can't be saved there. Not only did it have nothing to do with Paul's natural religion, but Paul, look what it says. For you heard about my former way of life and in Judaism. I persecuted God's church to an extreme degree and tried to destroy it. So what happens? Paul says, you know what happened to me when I tried to be a righteous man in myself and not through faith in Christ? I killed Christians. The best that moralism can do if you really live it out is to make you want to hate Christians and kill them. So these guys are saying, go back to the law, go back to salvation with something outside of Jesus. And Paul's saying, when I lived in that religion, I at best was a monster who hated Christians and wanted them to die. And you're saying that's the solution? Works-based salvation. Well, I was a good guy in that system, and you know what? It made me a monster. It makes men monsters. You know why? Because it strips men of everything in them that they have to boast. And when someone comes and says, salvation has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Christ, they become monsters. What happened to Jesus? Jesus basically came, and he told the Pharisees that your law-keeping sucks. Doesn't save you. He said, okay, let's kill him. Let's rid the earth of him. So, false teachers, salvation by Christ and works. Paul says, yeah, I was there. Made me want to kill people, kill Christians. Good luck with that. Good luck with that as a viable alternative to salvation in Christ alone, a religion that makes you hate and want to kill Christians if you really live it out. Real quiet in here. Yeah, you know what else is interesting? It had nothing to do with Paul's natural religion. Check this out. Paul wasn't just like this Pharisee Judaizer who just didn't do it very well and he just washed out. You know? Like Paul says, I was like the best. You know, like people like, who is the most righteous guy? Paul. And so sometimes people say, oh, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. Well, dude, you broke, so it don't matter. You've never been rich. But if a rich guy tells you it's not all about the money, okay. Example, it's not. Solomon had all the money and all the women he could ever have as much as possible. And his conclusion is it's nothing. So Paul's like, yo, I was in that system. And I was the best that that system can produce. And I know that it produces nothing. I was better than everybody else. And Paul says in Philippians 3, my best was like poo-poo, dung to be put in a toilet. So don't talk to me about this gospel, about these guys who are adding to Jesus, because I was the best. I was the best moralist. And I knew I was lost. And so we see something else here about how it came, how he received it supernaturally, in that it had nothing to do with anything natural to Paul. So we said first, it's nothing to do natural with his religion. Secondly, it had nothing to do with natural to Paul. Look, he says in verse 15, but when God, who from his birth set me apart and called me by his grace, listen, was pleased to reveal his son in me. So Paul is saying, in my nature, in my will, in my heart, was a propensity to be evil and wicked and want to kill people. But God set me apart and was pleased to save me outside of anything that I ever did in my life. So these false teachers are saying that the things that we do in this life save us. And Paul's saying, God saved me outside of anything that has ever happened in time. My salvation goes into the character and love and affection of God in eternity. So why would I preach a gospel about salvation by works if my entire existence has nothing to do with my salvation, but it's the fact that God was pleased himself? It's ironic, right? And the reason why this is important to Paul is that, guys, if your salvation begins a certain way, then it will continue a certain way and it will end a certain way. You begin building a house with concrete, you get a concrete house. You begin building a house with wood, you get a wood house. You begin a salvation that has man in it and you will keep man in it. But Paul says, you know why my salvation was supernatural? Because it began in eternity in the pleasure and affections of God and not my silly, ridiculous life. So I'm not preaching about me and what you should do, because my salvation, it goes into the character and pleasure of God. That's why he says, but when it pleased God, you know? Paul says, I, and then it says, but when God. That's the contrast. And not only that, it had everything to do with God's nature, not Paul's nature, and so therefore it had nothing to do with Paul. It had everything to do with God's Son. Paul says, he called me by his grace. He called me by his grace. So grace is something in Scripture which just speaks about Christ. So when Paul says he called me by grace, what he's really saying is he called me by what Jesus Christ did. So what does that mean? What's Paul's conversion about? Paul's conversion has nothing to do with his good works and law keeping, but everything to do with Jesus' good works and his law keeping. God called me by grace. Paul's salvation has nothing to do with man-made rituals or biblical rituals. It has everything to do with the fact that Christ was nailed to a cross under the wrath of God for my sins. God called me by grace. Paul's saying my salvation has nothing to do with my self-improvement, but in Christ being made sin for me and me being righteous in him. Salvation for Paul had nothing to do with his self-denial and sacrifice, but had everything to do with the fact that Christ denied himself to become the Lamb of God for our sins. Paul says, I have a supernatural conversion that goes all the way back to what Jesus did on the cross. So therefore, my salvation is supernatural, and therefore, my gospel is supernatural, because it's all in the cross. It has nothing to do with Paul's fasting and whatnot, but it has everything to do with Christ on the cross saying, I am thirsty, as he is denied life because he experiences death. So if God calls us outside of anything other than the pleasure of God in eternity and the grace of God in Christ, nothing that we do in this life matters. Paul's salvation is supernatural. And there's even more that Paul says is interesting. He says, because it has everything to do with God's Son, and also because it has everything to do with God's power. Look what it says in verse 16. But when God, I'll say 15 and 16, but when God, who from my birth set me apart and called me by his grace, he was pleased to reveal his Son in me. Those words are very, very, very careful. So the favor of God in eternity, the grace of God on the cross, was revealed supernaturally in Paul. And let me read a passage for you to kind of help you understand that. 2 Corinthians 4, it says this. In verse 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "In their case, the God of this age has blinded," listen, "the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So what's wrong with the human heart? Why did God have to reveal something in Paul, not just out of Paul? Because the natural heart sees everything around it in light of its selfishness. We are blinded, and everything we see is about us and our glory and our achievements. That's the human heart, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So what's the solution? They cannot see the light of the gospel. And verse 6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give a light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Christ." So man is darkened, his heart just sees himself, and then God, who said light and there was, makes light in the human heart so he can see in the heart the glory of Christ. And so Paul says, God supernaturally gave me a heart to see Christ. It says God was pleased to reveal his son in me. God didn't reveal to Paul the plan of salvation by being a really good person. God didn't reveal in Paul the ladder of works and good doing and good parenting and good whatever. God revealed in the heart of Paul Christ. Christ himself. For salvation by himself. It had nothing to do with anything, Paul, because God was pleased to reveal his son in me. And so Paul says, you know why the way I received the gospel was supernatural? Because it was from God the Father, from God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it had nothing to do with me. So when I preach this gospel, you better believe that it's a supernatural gospel that has nothing to do with Paul. It has nothing to do with Pharisaism. It has nothing to do with man. It's supernaturally revealed, and therefore it's supernaturally communicated. Make sense? And let me say a sidebar real quick. This is not a part of just my general argument, but look, it says in verse 16, to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. So check it out. These false teachers were saying, if you want to be saved, you can't just believe in Jesus and what he did. You have to convert to a Jewish culture and do Jewish things to be saved. And Paul's saying, God gave me a gospel to reveal to Gentiles. It doesn't say God gave me a gospel to come to Gentiles and say, if you want to be saved, then become a part of this culture and do the acts of this culture, and then you can be saved. Paul says, I got a gospel to reveal to Gentiles salvation that is only in Christ. You may say, how does that apply today? Well, there's a lot of ways we can do this. We can say, well, if you want to be saved in this church, you know what you got to do? You got to talk like us. You got to dress like us. You got to raise your kids like us. You got to worship like us. So convert to our culture, and then you can believe in Christ. Does that make sense? You guys know what I'm talking about. And Paul says, God gave me the gospel to reveal to people where they are a supernatural salvation that has everything to do with Christ, not converting to some culture. I mean, that's your preference. We don't need to become a part of some preferences of some people, dress this way, talk this way, live this way. We have to place our trust in the culture of Christ crucified. And that's what these guys were saying. If you really want to be Christian, then you got to basically embrace an external culture, the way people are, and then Jesus' death matters. Paul says, I was called to preach to the Gentiles, not to make people Jewish and then saved in Christ. So we get it. We get it. Okay? Paul's gospel came to him supernaturally. He received it supernaturally. But the question is, okay, but Paul, didn't you like, after you received it supernaturally, didn't you kind of like learn and tweak the gospel? You know, what about afterwards? Right, Paul? Come on, you know, you couldn't have understood the gospel and then just that's it. And that's what brings us to our next point, that Paul not only received the gospel supernaturally, but he held it supernaturally. Look what it says in verse 16. I did not immediately consult with anybody. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, I'm not lying in what I write to you. God is my witness. So, you guys know what happens when you guys discover something that's smaller? It's a little different when you discover something bigger. So, when you discover that this is the way to clean your counters most easily, you're like, you're not going to go around authoritatively telling everybody that this is what you must do to clean your counters, right? Because it's not that significant. When you discover that if you cook this way, the steak comes out really nice, you're not going to go around authoritatively telling everybody this is what you must do to cook or else. But if you discover the cure to cancer, not a fake cure, the real cure to cancer, for all cancer, that's something pretty big enough that you would probably have the confidence to say that this is the only thing that saves you in your cancer, and you broadcast it. So Paul, check this out. Paul gets converted, and immediately it says that he preached authoritatively the gospel of Christ. He had discovered something that was so true and evident that when he discovered it, he did not go through a process. He just said, he started preaching salvation by Christ alone. He immediately held on and immediately proclaimed authoritatively this, because this is not some small thing that Paul discovered. We see something else interesting here. He not only held it and immediately proclaimed it authoritatively, but he held it on its own by itself. Yo, this is crazy. You know when you discover something and you're thinking through something, you kind of like ask somebody like, hey, did that really happen? Like on TV, and you kind of consult, right? Because you're not sure. And someone says something and you're like, you know what? I'm not sure how to take that, so let me like talk to this person and that person. You know, like, or you see something on TV, a sports game, and you're like, you know, I think that's happened. But you begin to consult other people because you need validation, right? So Paul gets saved, and he goes to the desert for 3 years, consulting nobody. I mean, if you look back at biblical history, there's just desert people out there. It's Sinai. There's just nothing out there. So Paul discovers this gospel, and he doesn't go asking anybody for validation. You know, things that are really sure, you don't need validation for. For example, if you get sunburned, I don't need to consult you, right? You ever seen like a person cherry red? Hey, do you think I'm sunburned? It's self-evident. If someone gets hit by a car, you know, in your wheelchair, like, hey, you think I got hit by a car? You don't do that because it's self-evident. If you're in an earthquake, you don't go, let me console with other people about the earthquake. I don't know if my house just fell down in front of me. You don't do that. When Paul came to encounter the living Christ, it was so self-evident, just like that, even more so, that he needed to consult nobody for his gospel. And so therefore, we can trust Paul's gospel. I mean, in Acts chapter 9, it says, Christ came from heaven and struck him down with lightning, and Paul could not eat and he could not see for days. I think Paul could be sure that he encountered a living God. So Paul held this gospel in a supernatural way. The dude went to hang out in a desert for 3 years, and he's like, I got it. So somebody would come out and check this out. Not only did he hold it on its own by itself, but he held it on its own outside of religious authority and places. So after Paul is in the desert for 3 years, it says he goes to Jerusalem. And doesn't say he went to Jerusalem to finally hear from the other apostles about the gospel. Because, yo, I just came to chill with Peter. I didn't go to ask him about the gospel. I know the gospel. I've been known the gospel since the day the Lord of glory appeared to me. So he goes to Peter just to hang out for 15 days. And then it says he didn't even hang out with the rest of the apostles. He didn't have an apostle conference and say, hey, you know what? You guys all were with Christ, and I wasn't with Christ, so can we have an apostle gospel conference to tell me about the gospel? Paul says, I'm good. Because he was commissioned by God himself. And so, guys, let me bring it to our context, because we believe in the gospel that Paul received supernaturally. We don't get our gospel from the Pope. We don't get our gospel from some guys who call themselves apostles. We don't get our gospel from some place, whether it's Rome or Jerusalem. We don't get our gospel from the Baptist Convention. We don't get our gospel from Acts 29. We don't get our gospel from any book writer, any teacher. We don't even get our gospel from Providence Road Church. Our gospel comes from God himself through Paul. And guys, you may sound like, why are you ranting about that? Why are you? Because look, guys, if any church wants to be about the gospel, there will be resistance everywhere you go. There's already a lot of resistance here. And the more we preach and are in this city, there's going to be people from Christian churches and non-Christian churches who are going to say, that's not the gospel because of this guy and because of that guy and because of this one, because of this apostle, because of that. And say, yo, our gospel needs no human religious authority validation because it comes from Paul, who got it from God. If every single church, every single person on the face of the earth were to deny the gospel, we would still stand on the gospel of Paul. We don't need any religious validation by nobody because Paul got this gospel from God. And so, that's awesome. I don't need to consult all the confusedness, all the councils and Pope this guy and apostle this guy and opinion this guy and this. No, Paul got his gospel from God. Thank you. Thank you for all your moralistic self-help gospel advice. But Paul got his gospel from God, not from anybody else. Even apostles in his day who were true apostles, he didn't get it from them. And so it was held on its own by itself. And I'll say the last thing that's very interesting about the way Paul held this gospel supernaturally is that this point is a little confusing. It was held on to supernaturally by others by Paul's supernatural holding. Look what it says in verse 21 and 22. It says that afterward I went to the regions of Caesarea and Cilicia, and I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches in Christ. They simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. So Paul is saying, okay, you guys are saying that I got my moralistic gospel from the Jewish churches? The Jewish churches that were even nowhere near me heard about my gospel and they glorified God. Yo, the proof is in the pudding. Like nuclear blasts, you can be miles and miles away, but because of the power of that blast, people that are very far away are burnt and they have cancer. So Paul's saying, okay, you guys are saying, because the false teachers were saying this, this is what happens a lot in our day too. People that are preaching works, do this, they're claiming to be about the glory of God. You know why we're beating people on the head with moralism and moralism and moralism? Because we are about the glory of God. And Paul says, my Christ-centered, grace-focused gospel far away led to people glorifying God, not works gospel. The proof is in the pudding. So the churches in the Jewish areas were not glorifying God because of a moralistic do-good gospel. They were glorifying God because of Christ's obedience for them and death for them. That's why they were glorifying God. They weren't glorifying God because they were hearing a Jesus plus something gospel. They were glorifying God because they heard a Jesus plus nothing gospel. They were not glorifying God because of some prosperity, Santa Claus, God blesses nice people gospel. These people were exulting in the glory of the triune God because Paul was preaching the cross. So Paul says, don't talk to me about how this gospel you preach is anything, because the gospel I preach far and wide, wherever it goes, men and women are exulting in the glory of God because of grace and not because of law. So my question, guys, when you guys begin to doubt, where does your hope come from in your marriage, in your life? Listen to this. Paul's gospel came from God supernaturally. It was received supernaturally, and he held to it supernaturally. You can go to these words every time and trust that they are true and they are right and they are necessary. To the person who's struggling with guilt, you can go to this word and be sure that you can build your life and eternity on it because it was revealed supernaturally. It came supernaturally, and Paul held it supernaturally. I don't care what it is, guys. Even though everything around us is falling apart, this supernatural gospel, you can rely and build everything in your life on it because it came from out of this world to us. So you see why this is significant? You see why this story about how Paul received the gospel? Because guys, now you guys, in the midst of all the things that break you and crush you and hurt you and just break you down, you can say, I can build my life on Christ, the solid foundation who was preached by Paul. No matter what everyone says. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray and I plead and I ask that your people would just run. They would run to the word of Christ as delivered by Paul, not to human reason, not to human philosophy, not to themselves, not to their, they would not look to themselves, but God, that they would build everything in their life, everywhere they go, on this sure gospel. Father, we need your help, Lord. Father, even now I pray that the Lord's table would confirm in our bodies, in our very stomachs, in our mouths, that Christ is for us because of what he did, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us this way and not because of anything in us. Amen.
That concludes our message, and we hope that you were inspired by it. If you'd like to hear more about the gospel or find out more about Reconciled Church Miami, please connect with us using one of the ways listed on our website, reconcilechurchmiami.org.